Well, good morning, everybody. What a bright, sunny day. People have been saying, when is summer coming? When is summer coming? For weeks, maybe it's now come. Well, as you know, thank you very much, James, for introductions. The subject, the theme today is gratitude and being thankful. I'm sure you've twigged that by now. And is saying thank you just a cultural or social thing? I mean, I come from a non-Christian home in Somerset, and I really can remember my parents insisting that when I was a little boy that I learned to say thank you. Stephen, say thank you. Interesting, isn't it, that we have to teach our children to say thank you? Interesting that, isn't it? It's not something I think that comes naturally. Otherwise, if a child is not taught to say thank you, he or she just thinks he deserves everything and no need to say thank you because, well, I mean, that's mine, obviously. Fascinating, because my wife and I worked in Belgium for many years and in pastoral ministry, and we had British colleagues there and mostly Belgian colleagues. And the Belgian colleagues would always find the British colleagues amusing, because they would say thank you. I was startled by this. The Belgians think of British people, the people who say thank you all the time. How interesting. I'm sure you didn't know that. How interesting. So for example, when people came to church and I was standing at the door saying, oh, thank you, Cédric, thank you, Pierre, that you came today. And he'd say, oh, well, it's okay. Whereas for me, that was natural to say thank you for coming. When, for example, we're celebrating Remembrance Sunday in November, there are two facets, aren't there? We remember what the military did and they sacrificed. We were grateful for what they did and what they do still. So we're being grateful for them then and now. It's not just remembering, it's being grateful. It's a gratitude from human to human, isn't it? We're thankful for the military. And we can also be grateful for many people who've helped us in our lives in many ways over the years. I'm thankful to God for my parents, for families, for education, food provision, health provision, spouse, children, grandchildren, and many more. I mean, where does it start, and why should we be grateful? Don't we deserve these things? Isn't that part of our secular culture these days? I think I deserve that. Aren't happiness, health, freedom, protection our human rights? Our human rights. Turn, would you, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. I think in your Bibles, it's page 997. Just going to look at this briefly. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Many of you will be familiar with this. This is talking about God's wrath against sinful humanity, not so much a popular subject. So, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to verse 21. And it says here, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks, but in their thinking they become futile and their foolish hearts were hardened. So here's a passage which talks about our natural condition, our natural tendencies. This, despite the evidence for God's existence and his goodness, we tend to reject the evidence. And the key element we don't do is to be thankful. People would say nowadays, many, I guess, in our society, why do I need to thank God, they would say. Well, we thank God because we are created human beings. We're dependent beings. We're not here by chance. We're not finally our own masters, independent, self-providing, or all-powerful. We're created dependent creatures. And we've seen that this morning, looking at Psalm 100. Perhaps you can turn there, if you'd like, to Psalm 100, which is page 526. We looked at that this morning. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. What does the psalmist say? He says, shout for joy, worship the Lord, verse 2, sing, verse 2, and be thankful. That's interesting, isn't it? Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Praise him. Why? Because he is God, verse 3. He's our creator, verse 3. He's our shepherd, verse 3. He's good, verse 5. And he's faithful. That's the way God has set up the universe. He has made us. Shouldn't we be thankful? Oh yes, maybe I ought to be. Maybe I'm not the creator. Maybe I'm the created being that he made. This is the way God has set things up. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, get that and you'll be wise. So praise and thankfulness is not just what man does sometimes. It's deeply rooted in it being created by God, dependent on God, and I'm the recipient of God's grace. Because it's part of our created makeup that we are actually dependent, submissive and thankful beings. But our own sinful inclination is one of independence, isn't it? I do hope you realize today that I'm the most important person in this room. I think you ought to agree that, probably. But isn't that our natural understanding? It's me-centeredness. That is our modern secular society, more and more. Well, that's not to say, I don't exaggerate, it's not to say that man is 0% grateful 100% of the time. Obviously not, because there is something called common grace. God gives us all, Christian or non-Christian, believer or non-believer, he gives us provision, comfort, a beautiful creation, fun, blessings of children, sports, creative activities, to a greater or lesser extent. But we are easily duped into thinking that these things are ours by right, as though we created the world, as though we are Lord. No, we're not Lord. God is Lord. As though we supply everything. No, we don't. God in his common grace supplies. As if we control everything. No, we don't control everything. Interesting, isn't it? Our 21st century culture still benefits from the broad blessing of the gospel over centuries. However much it's been flawed in some of its realization. Because the Christianization has supported justice and taught us dependence. We have judicial systems, we have police, transport, health provisions. Where do they come from, finally? They are actually part of God's common grace to mankind. Interesting, isn't it? The word prime minister. The word minister, as many of you will know, means servant. Literally, it means servant. So the prime minister is the first servant. And I'm so glad that came up in the coronation of Charles III in recent weeks. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And some measure of humble thankfulness is still deep in our conscience, in our culture. But it needs to be modeled, nurtured, lived out, or it will fade away into pride and arrogant assumptions. So let's be thankful for the king, for the NHS, for charities, Is this just sentimental or cultural or British? No, it's the way God has created us. Let's be grateful for that. The opposite of gratitude is pride. I deserve it. It's my right. I don't need help. Now, we've talked of common grace, the way God provides for all people. Now we can speak of special grace. Special grace we see in Psalm 100 to the believer. Common grace for everybody. Special grace for those who believe and call on the name of God. So we're thankful for God's creation, for his undeserved grace and goodness in providing for us on this earth. But more than anything, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus, who was sent by God to die in our place, to pay the penalty for my sin and your sin, and to save us from hell, eternal condemnation. God, I am really grateful to you for saving me from hell. God's special grace is spoken of towards his chosen people in the Old Testament. On many occasions, Paul writes of his thankfulness for God's grace towards believers he's writing to. We've looked at that in Ephesians in the reading and in 1 Thessalonians. And I can remember very well arriving in Belgium, pastoring two churches, Libramont and Philippeville in Belgium, and being so grateful to God for the living faith and courage and the resilience of real believers, as I am for you today, as I said a couple of weeks ago. Now we have to live as believers, which from Thessalonians 5 means what? It means respecting leaders, being active, not lazy, and giving thanks. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about. Respecting our leaders, being active, not lazy, and giving thanks. So being known as a believer is being known as a believer of integrity, real faith, and one who respects leaders, and one who is a thankful person. Thankfulness doesn't mean that life is perfect. It's being grateful for and conscious of God's grace in saving us from hell by sending the Lord Jesus. How amazing that is. We are so thankful. And for this, brothers and sisters, we need reminding day after day after day. Somebody said to me that the opposite of being thankful is grumbling. I think probably there's something in that. You know, grumbling is, I haven't got what I want. I haven't got what I want. I'm a grumbler. But thankfulness is, God knows, and I know that I have the most important things. Let's be thankful, not grumbling. For the world around us denies the truth of the gospel. Our hearts tend to self-righteousness and me first. And the devil deceives and tricks us, commending our own independence and personal power. But be thankful, brothers and sisters, to God our Creator and Savior, and live lives of gratitude. But that's right, our tendency is naturally to disappointment and puzzlement, as I think James has mentioned this morning. Why is life often so hard? Why do so few prayers seem to be answered? There seem to be so few openings to share the gospel. There's so much weakness and illness, so many crises God could solve if he tried. Oh, what am I saying? But being saved by grace does not mean to say that my life on earth as a believer will be simple, peaceful, healthy. But whatever God allows, he is loving, sovereign, and just. I need to trust him. I need to speak to myself, Stephen, trust God. Stephen, be thankful. Live for him. He will provide help in Christ. And our final destination is in heaven, his faithful promise. Being saved, Stephen, by grace doesn't mean necessarily that your life on earth will be easy. But whatever God allows, he does so as a loving, sovereign, and just God. Do you get it? Stephen, I'm talking to myself. Do you get it? Yeah, I get it. Trust him. I need to be thankful, whatever. I need to live for him, convinced that he will provide help and assure me of my final destiny. That's what it means to be thankful, whatever the circumstances. Am I a grumbling person or am I a thankful person? Let's just have a time of silence for a minute or two in prayer and think in your heart and mind of things that you can thank God for, the basics, and then I'll end in prayer. Let's be silent as we thank God for all that He has given us. Father in heaven, we thank you for your creation that you have made. You are the creator, we are not. You are the sovereign Lord, we are not. You provide. Father, thank you for your provision. Thank you for the life that you have given us. Thank you that you are there, present by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the special grace in sending us your Son to die in our place, to satisfy your wrath, and to save us from hell and eternal condemnation. May we live as thankful men and women, living thankfulness, teaching thankfulness, day by day by day, until the end. And thank you for your grace to us in Jesus. Amen. Amen.